When researchers announced the birth of a cloned sheep named Dolly in 1997, cloning and other forms of genetic engineering moved from the pages of science fiction into public consciousness. Several years later, the promise of research on embryonic stem cells and the concern that science was outpacing moral thinking prompted President Bush to create the President's Council on Bioethics, replacing a panel instituted by President Clinton. Michael Sandel, a professor of government at Harvard University, is a member of President Bush's Bioethics Council. He addresses some of the challenges presented by recent advances in genetic science in a new article. The Case Against Perfection appears in the April issue of the Atlantic Monthly, and Professor Sandel joins us from the Harvard University campus. Welcome to the program, Professor.
Thank you, Leanne.
Your article deals primarily with techniques that enhance the genetic endowment of human beings, as opposed to the methods that cure diseases or repair injuries. Give us some examples of genetic enhancement.
I'd be happy to. I should mention, first of all, just by way of disclaimer, that I'm speaking here for myself and also in the article, not on behalf of the council. Some examples would well include this one, muscle enhancement. Muscular dystrophy is a disease. People who age, they have muscle atrophy. So scientists have been working on ways of turning back on the genes that control muscle growth. Turns out, though, that genetic therapy not only restores atrophied or injured muscles, it can also work to make perfectly healthy muscles that much stronger. So now athletes and coaches are very interested in these bulked up mice in the lab. We already have a big debate about the use of steroids and other performance enhancing drugs in sports. But suppose there were a way of gaining an edge that didn't carry that safety risk. The genetic therapy on the muscles seems so far to be of that kind. So if you put the safety risk aside, would we still object and worry about genetically altered muscles if there were no safety problem? Now, someone might say, well, there would still be the fairness problem. Some people would have this genetically altered advantage over others. It would make the competition unfair.
Do you consider these genetic enhancement techniques morally troubling?
I do. And one way of seeing why is if we shift to some other, well, there's one that's already possible, and that has to do with human growth hormone to enhance the height of short children. Now, the FDA says that's all right if it's a matter of curing a disease, let's say a hormone deficiency. But parents of kids who are perfectly healthy but simply short, maybe because they have short parents, say, well, why can't we use it too? So now the FDA is wrestling with the question, should there be any restrictions? And that gets us back to the question of enhancement.
Have you arrived at an argument against enhancement that actually moves beyond the standard objections you raised?
Yes. You can begin to see the deeper question by thinking really about the practice, the historic practice of eugenics, which historically was the practice of trying to improve the genetic makeup of the human race, often through very harsh coercive measures like forced sterilization and, with the Nazis, ultimately genocide. So the Nazis gave eugenics a bad name, but in a way, eugenics is making a comeback minus the coercion. Some people have observed that if we use genetic alteration to enhance the height of our kids, or even genetically to select other traits at the time of conception or before, to create designer children even, super smart kids, or kids who have athletic prowess or musical talent. It can't be done now, but imagine on the horizon that this could be done. Some say this really amounts to free market eugenics. What happens when, as consumers, parents can choose the genetic traits of their children? Isn't that a kind of privatized or free market eugenics? And even though the state isn't coercing it, isn't there something in human beings tinkering with, exercising their will on the kind of children they have that really changes the nature of the relation between parents and children. Now children become really instruments of our ambition, products of our design, rather than unpredictable beings to love and cherish, regardless of what kind of children they are.
Michael Sandel is a professor of government at Harvard University and a member of the President's Council on Bioethics. His article, The Case Against Perfection, appears in the April issue of the Atlantic Monthly. Professor Sandel, thank you very much.
Thank you.